a Radio.com sports station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Brewers and Diamondbacks, three-game set at Miller Park. It starts tonight. Brewers, I won't say it's necessary for them to get it in gear, but it'd be real nice if they could get it in gear right now. This is the beginning. You know, September's right around the corner, and you got about 5 weeks left of the season. You got fantasy leagues that are in the playoffs over there.
I'm one of them. I'm in the semis.
Yeah.
Ended up getting a big dub last week.
Yeah.
Squeaked one out, and I am down 4 points heading into the weekend. I'm going to need a big weekend. You know who's killing me right now? Christian Yelich and Javi Baez.
Yeah.
They're destroying my lineup. Mike Moustakas is individually carrying my team, so shout out to Moose.
Moose.
And, yeah, man, I need something from Yelich this week. And I know he's dealing with the back issue, or was. Had a big week last week when he came back, but him and Javi Baez has been brutal. And what sucks about Javi Baez is I could have traded him and got some more pitching, and instead I hung on to him. And, yeah, he's kind of regressed a little bit this year, Javi Baez.
It's one of those things, though.
I got style points for, like, cool tags, like 3 points for a cool tag or something, because he's doing absolutely nothing at the plate except for striking out on a consistent basis, per usual.
Did I ever tell you, real quick, it's a real fast story, did I ever tell you about the league that my commissioner messed up? It was one of these things where they threw together last minute. The commissioner had never done a fantasy league before, and he did a points league, but he didn't realize he was trying to do things that you got points for and then points off for. Like as a hitter, if you struck out, minus a point.
Yeah.
Except he didn't know how to do it. So he created this league where when a hitter struck out, it was plus a point.
Really?
When a pitcher gave up an earned run, it was plus a point. And when he gave up a home run, it was plus a point. So I said to him, when the draft was over, I'm like, look, you just take a look at your stats. Like,
right.
You've messed this up. He goes, oh, my goodness, I didn't realize. He fixes the hitter thing but doesn't fix the pitcher thing. So a pitcher that gives up a homer, gives up a lot of homers and a lot of earned runs, was like the greatest thing ever. I went undefeated because no one else understood how the league worked.
I would have just drafted Chase Anderson, number one.
That was it. I had Giovanni Gallardo. That was the year he was all homers and walks. It was perfect.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Let's go back out to the phone lines, 414-799-1250. Tweet at the station at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Find us on Facebook as well. We'll go out to Brookfield, talk with Steve. Steve, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I just had to put a little, my analogy on the three-team race between the Cardinals, Brewers, and Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm coming from a Cubs aspect because I like the Cubs, but I think the bottom line is it's all about pitching, and I know the Cubs messed up getting Morrow. They didn't really mess up because if you're trying to get a better team, you go for the better players. And yeah, he was a failure and stuff, you know, but I like the Kimbrel thing and he's locked in for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But I think the Brewers' biggest problem is I'm not afraid of their pitching staff. I mean, I just am not. They're hitting. They're right with the Cubs hitting. But I think we can out-pitch them. And I think when it comes down to the end of it, it's going to be who pitches better. Because all three teams hit fairly well, but who's going to pitch better? And if you can't get to your closer because you got a stud closer there with Hader, you can't get to him. He's no good, you know. So I mean, that, and this, their middle relief is just getting just blown up. And that, and for me, I love it, you know, because if you can't go past five innings, you're in trouble. You know, then you get to the pen again. But it's a good race. They're a good team. All three of them are good teams. But I still think the Cubs are going to win this thing. I know they got a tough last month of the thing on the road, but we'll see what happens to this. But I just think that's the Brewers' fault is they don't go after a number one. Do they really have a number one pitcher on their team?
Well, no, not like the Cubs do. I mean, thanks for the phone calls.
Do they have a number two? Who's number two?
That's a great question. I actually just asked that to Kev last week. I said, if you're playing in a one-game playoff, who is going to be your starting pitcher? I went with Gio Gonzalez, who can most likely get you five innings at the most, so I'm with you. I mean, you saw what Hendricks did again yesterday in a 1-0 shutout loss. John Lester has struggled at times, but we know what John Lester is going to be when it comes to postseason time. I want John Lester with the ball game one of that series. Jose Quintana, up and down, but I mean, Jose Quintana owns the Milwaukee Brewers. Cole Hamels has been great. He's had a couple rough starts here and there. And then I think that even, like, for example, I think they should use Chatwood a little bit differently in the bullpen, the Cubs should, because the middle relief is their problem. You get to Kimbrel and you're fine, but Pedro Strop, you can't trust him. Rowan's been really good. That's been the biggest surprise for you guys.
Yeah, not anymore. But I think the Brewers, they can hit with anybody, and they're going to lose that. What's the third baseman, Moustakas?
Yeah, Moustakas, and possibly even the catcher Grandal in the offseason.
Yeah, one of those guys is going to go. See, if I was a player and I didn't feel the Brewers are going after like a number one man to really make a run at it, because just because you're close, it's called, you got to get over that hump. They're always close. They've been close. Everybody's been close for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
But I would leave if I said, no, you got to get me a number one pitcher so I can feel confident in your team.
No, great phone calls. The great phone calls, okay, Steve, because I don't think the Cubs win the World Series if they don't go out and get John Lester.
I think if the Dodgers and Houston's going to be in the World Series, that's what I think.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. No, I agree. He makes a good point. And Bart Winkler, who will be back on Monday, continues to make the good point. You do need that horse. I will always say, like, the Astros don't win that World Series if they don't go out and get Justin Verlander. You know, Johnny Cueto needed to be acquired by both the Royals and the Giants for both teams to win that World Series. I think that you do. I think there's something to be said. Last year, the Brewers were able to win a little bit different away with the opener or the bullpen days because you knew that bullpen was just so locked down. You had three guys. Like, Jeremy Jeffress last year was a whole nother pitcher. This year, I don't think you could trust Jeremy Jeffress anymore in a tight game. I don't want to see him back out there. Josh Hader was always locked down, and you had Knebel as your closer. You had set roles. And I was the one last year saying you don't need set roles. Play your matchups, like especially against the Cubs. Josh Hader, I want him facing. If you got Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, and Anthony Rizzo coming up in the bottom or the top of the ninth, depending where you're playing at, I wanted Josh Hader on the mound rather than Corey Knebel in that series. But that's not to be the same if you had, you know, different righties or lefties coming up. I would like to play the matchups with Jeffress, Knebel, and Hader. But this year, you just don't have that. And the problem is, I feel like you tax those guys so much. I feel like you overused a little bit of your bullpen last year. Josh Hader being one of them. Corey Knebel overused a little bit. And then Jeremy Jeffress, and that's why he struggled in the postseason last year.
So the Brewers in their tenure, especially talking about the last like 10, 11, 12 years where there's been this, there's either been playoff teams or close to playoff teams, and the difference between the close and the playoff teams, the ones that have gotten over the hump, has been some sort of acquisition of pitching. Last year was a little bit of an anomaly because Yolish Chacin was not this major pitching acquisition. But in 2008, CC Sabathia. 2011, Zach Greinke, Sean Markham. That's what takes a good team and makes them great. And I think that's what takes a team like the 2019 Brewers and puts them over the top. That person's not coming this year. It's not going to happen. The trade deadline is a different animal. That acquisition of Verlander can't happen in 2019 because there's only that July trade deadline.
Right.
So it's, you know, ain't nobody like that clearing waivers. But that to me is the, for the Brewers, that has been the path to get over the top. And David Stearns comes at it differently. But in the end of the day, building a strong offense and then using the pitcher to get over the top has been their way, and it still is.
It is frustrating, though, when we talk about starting pitching. And, I mean, I'm guilty of this, too, because I said it in the last segment. We talk about how we're a medium market team or a small market team. But then you look at what the Cincinnati Reds have done, and they're a mid-market team. And now their rotation features Sonny Gray. Like, why couldn't you go out and get Corey Kluber, get yourself Trevor Bauer when their names were on that list? Last year, Madison Bumgarner. The arguments I were getting towards Madison Bumgarner were, well, he's getting older. Well, Ryan Braun and him wouldn't get along in the clubhouse. Yeah, right, man. Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman didn't get along until they were in the same locker room, and then they won three titles together with the Bulls. That's a terrible example. Everybody wants to win. Growing up, before you get into high school in eighth grade, you always hate the guys you're competing with, against, I should say. Then you get to high school, you compete together, and you guys are best friends. So I didn't want to hear that crap. And the other thing, like going back with that, is you need a guy like that. You almost need like a jerk that takes control on the mound. Watch John Lester pitch or watch Justin Verlander. They have like a mental psyche over the umpire. And you just need a guy that could go out and get you 7 innings. Name me a World Series team that won like the Brewers tried to win last year, like the Brewers tried to win this year, where you were trusting guys like Freddie Peralta and Brandon Woodruff to be, you know, going every 5 day, giving them the ball. I can't think of one without a true ace. The Cubs had John Lester last year. You look at Boston, and you had Chris Sale, even though he struggled a little bit at times in the postseason. Verlander the year before that. You know, look at the Giants at the time that they were winning World Series. Tim Lincecum was the real deal, even though he's like 5'2".
I guess you'd say the Royals, the 15 Royals are probably
Johnny Cueto, though.
Yeah, I mean, he was on fire, right? Like, that's what you had to have, was a good pitcher who got great. I think that team, set the sort of the blueprint that the Brewers have used, in that it was several really good relief pitchers. Like the Royals, that term bullpenning it's becoming a bullpen game.
Mm-hmm.
It started really with them. I mean, they put so many resources in the back end of a game, and they would throw a lot of these 5-6 inning games, and then you'd have guys in the 7th, 8th, and 9th who were these dominant relievers. And they remind me the most of this last Brewers team from last year, and partially because Lorenzo Cain and Mike Moustakas were members of that team.
I'm with you.
But also the way the pitching staff was structured. But again, you can do that if you get a Johnny Cueto and he gets hot.
Right, and it doesn't even always have to be the big names. Like Brandon Woodruff, although we weren't expecting it this year before the injury, he looked like he could be a true ace. And if you go back to like those Marlins teams, you brought up those Marlins team, and Josh Beckett was really young, the one World Series title run, and he wasn't a household name yet, but that season he made himself a household name, and you knew he could go out there and give you 7 to 8 innings, so he kind of did become a number one pitcher. So I'm not saying you have to go out there and get Justin Verlander, but you do need a guy that could eat up innings, because you're just asking so much from your bullpen, and that's why they're beat up right now. I mean, you're running Alex Claudio out there every other day. His arm is about to fall off. If you got a guy that could go 8-9 innings, 7-8 innings, like the Cubs do, or like even the Cardinals do, then you don't have to rely on Josh Hader to do so much. I don't know if that makes any sense. We're talking Major League Baseball. What do you want to see from the Brewers this weekend? 414-799-1250. When we come back, the controversy that I spoke to Scott Miller from Bleacher Report with. See what Kevin's thoughts are. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Yes, it is Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryan and Stratton College Athletics Studios, 414-799-1250. You can tweet at us. 105.7 FM, The Fan. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, as well as the radio.com app, where you could find today's show and anything you miss, including all interviews. A great app. Ryan Horvath, Kevin Holden filling in today for Chuck and Bart. They'll be back next week. Bart will be back for the first time in 2 weeks, so we're excited to see Bart. The update here in the segment brought to you by Amazon. Discover your next opportunity to Amazon. Start earning at least $15 an hour and up to $16.15 an hour as a warehouse team member in Kenosha. Apply online today at amazon.com/Kenosha jobs. Amazon, an equal opportunity employer. If you're making plans right now, September, and you're circling your schedule, a lot going on, high school football, college football, pro football, all types of football, fantasy football, backyard football, but also still time for some golf, even though it's football and baseball season, hopefully still for your Milwaukee Brewers. It's time for the annual 13th annual Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries Fan Charity Golf Outing to benefit Give Kids the World. September 25th, circle that date right now. It'll be at the beautiful Western Lakes Golf Club in Pewaukee, your chance to golf with us guys here at The Fan, as well as other local celebrities, athletes, news makers, all of that. $125, great day of golfing. Also, you get breakfast, lunch, dinner from Perkins Roberts Specialty Meats and Saz's. Get all the details and get yourself signed up right now today. Don't wait till Monday. You may lose your spot. 105.7 FM, The Fan. What do you hope to see from the Brewers this weekend? We're going to continue to talk about that, but Holdy, I've been talking about this controversy for a long time. I think the balls are juiced, and even Major League Baseball's came out and said, yeah, there's something going on with the balls. And Chuck Freeman, our co-host here on the show, he does not believe there's anything different about the balls. He just says it's launch angle. Guys are bigger and stronger than ever. I also have this theory that balls aren't always juiced. They're only juiced for the big series. Cubs cards, Brewers Cardinals, interdivision matchups with, you know, the division on the line or a wild card spot on the line. Yankees, Red Sox, a lot of runs scored. We had Scott Miller on yesterday from Bleacher Report, Sirius XM. He's a baseball columnist nationally. I asked him about this. I said, are the balls juiced? To which he responded, yes. But then I gave him my theory. Here's what he had to say, Holy. Let's get your opinion.
All right.
Tell me if I'm crazy. I think the ball is juiced for big series, right? Like division rivals, like Cubs, Cardinals, ball's juice. Cubs, Brewers at Miller Park. Kyle Schwarber didn't even extend his arms full, and he knocked one out opposite field. And then Yankees, Red Sox. Then for some reason, the Yankees and Orioles, I think they juiced the balls. Am I crazy to think that maybe the ball is only juiced for the bigger games?
Well, I would say you're giving an awful lot of credence to both the deviousness and the intelligence of people in the MLB office to try to manipulate things that way.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I'd have to look at the numbers. I haven't studied. You know, I mean, you're right. The ball seems to be extra juiced for the Yankees Orioles series. There's no question. I mean, that's just been ludicrous this year, how many homers the Yankees have bludgeoned against the Orioles and winning, what is it, 16 games in a row against them.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I think there's no question. Baseball's, you know, they're scratching their heads. They're perplexed. It was a big topic at the All-Star game. You know, Commissioner Rob Manfred spoke at a lunch with the Baseball Writers Association, and, you know, he admits there's a ton of homers. He won't admit that they've done anything with the ball. You know, you've seen, I'm sure, the comments over the summer where he said, you know, the conspiracy theory, and this would jive with your point.
Yeah.
Is, you know, that a year ago, you know, MLB owners bought Rawlings, you know, so the company making the balls is owned by the owners, and that's where a lot of people are like, okay, wait a minute, time out. You know, what Manfred says, look, the owners don't want home runs, you know, they think there's too many. He says there's nothing funny going on, but I would not be surprised if this winter sometime baseball says we're going to deaden the ball a little bit. You know, not deaden it to like dead ball era in the 1915s. But I would be surprised if they end up deadening it a little bit.
All right, so he didn't buy all the way into your conspiracy theory, but he bought in a little bit.
He knows damn well I'm right and I'm always right, just like everybody in my household knows.
The truth is out there.
The ball's not juiced if it's Max Scherzer taking on Sonny Gray.
Yeah, but Max Scherzer and Sonny Gray are good at their jobs. I mean, I don't know. Look, I don't buy into the series thing necessarily.
The balls are juiced, though.
The balls are juiced. Craig Counsell said in a post-game presser, there is not a debate.
You know, Craig Counsell continues to bring up the balls being juiced. And you know who else does? And he's gotten very, very open is Chase Anderson.
Yeah. Because Chase has given up a ton of long balls.
Well, that's the thing. You know, the starting pitchers, man. Justin Verlander came out and said the same thing.
Right.
It's an unfair advantage for pitchers. The balls clearly are altered. And I'm glad that somebody agrees with me.
So here's the thing. And this is anecdotal, I get it. This is a very small sample size, I get it. But I just watched a whole bunch of games at a whole bunch of different levels, right? I just got back from that trip. This year, AAA is using the Major League ball, right? To me, this is the best evidence yet that the ball is juiced. AAA is using the Major League ball.
Yeah.
We saw seven games. We saw a Major League game and a AAA game, and then everything under that, okay? The Major League game that we saw was 15-14 in 14 innings, Brewers and Nationals. There were 11 home runs in that game.
30 runs scored in 2 days for the Nationals that series. Go on.
The AAA game that we saw was Durham and Charlotte. That was 13-11. It was an 11-1 game. Charlotte tacked on a couple more late, but Durham ended up scoring 11. In that game, there is an iconic bull at the Durham Stadium. You probably know if you know Bull Durham.
Yes.
Hit bull, win stake. In that game, Luis Robert hit two baseballs over the bull.
Over the bull, yeah.
Over.
Okay.
One was fair, one was foul. They were absolute rocket shots. And Luis Robert is one of the top prospects that you'll see in minor league baseball. But there were homers all over that yard. The double-A game that we saw, 2 hours and 20 minutes, 7-1. The two single-A games we saw, both 4-3. And the rookie ball game was a rookie ball game, whatever. But the point is that the two games that we saw at the big league and triple-A level, the two games with the current baseball that's in use, every team scored at least 11 runs. Even
right.
The losing team scored 11 runs. I mean, we're at a point where this is no longer in doubt. When you're talking about the number of home runs hit, when you're talking about the statistics of pitchers giving up home runs, you're, and I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, these big series have seen it, and that If you sat in a Nationals park Saturday night, you would believe your conspiracy theory, because that was two good teams competing for a wild card spot.
On Fox Sports 1.
And it felt like every ball that was hit, it felt like every ball that was hit was going out of the yard. Sean Doolittle gave up three home runs. He's a closer. He gave up three home runs.
Like, I was half joking when I started that conspiracy theory, because I was just trying to make a point that the balls are juiced. But I don't know. Now I'm starting to believe myself, which I think is kind of the definition of insanity a little bit. But at the same time, I don't know. There's something up. And also, so I'm going back to that game, right? You were at the game. It was 14-13, and everybody's out there on social media, and they're saying, this is the best baseball game I've ever seen in my life. All the millennials are going crazy. Call me nuts, and I do like those games, you know, every once in a while, because they're exciting, and everybody wants to see home runs. Chicks dig the long ball. Everybody wants to see the high-scoring games. I'm not one of them. I like a good pitching matchup. Give me Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander every single night. Give me Kyle Hendricks versus... trying to name a Brewers pitcher that I actually want to go out and see. Brandon Woodruff. Every single night. You know, I unfortunately get stuck with every Chase Anderson start. I love Chase Anderson. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a great interview. I think he's a pretty solid pitcher and a really good dude. But, oh my God, are his games not the longest?
Yep.
The longest.
And that's the thing, is baseball is doing what it can to increase offense while at the same time decreasing game times. And that's not how that works. The best game that we saw on this trip, to me, the one that stands out to me, was the game in Richmond. There was a pitcher named Raffy, and I wish I could remember his last name, but he's a double-A pitcher for the Giants.
Raffy, like the kid star growing up that did the songs?
Yeah, Raffy, I can't remember the last name. Anyway.
Was Baby Beluga his walk-up song?
Oh!
I was just going to say, I think we do actually have some audio of Ryan commenting on the pace of play to Chase Anderson.
You got to hurry up, man. It takes forever. Start the motion. Get it going. We're running out of time. My life is running out of lifespan. So casual, like a house mouse.
Hey, man, Chase, I like you, man, but you really, man, I mean, I'm looking at that pitch clock, man, and we don't got to go the full 30 seconds, man. A little John Gruden for it. I can't do a good Gruden, not like Frank Caliendo did on Hard Knocks the other night. Yeah, but, awesome. Yeah, I mean, I just, like, those starts just take forever. I miss a guy like Mark Burley who, like, you'd go into the stadium and you'd be out of there in an hour and 45 minutes and you'd see a 2-1 classic.
Well, so this guy, Raffy, in double A, he's a left-handed pitcher, and here's how it would work. He'd get the ball right on that rubber. Sign, wind up, pitch, right?
Yeah.
And he's throwing strikes. So here's what that does to the game. Hitters have to be on their toes. Hitters have to be ready. And they are taught if you see strikes, you get aggressive and swing at them, right? Because if you take them, you're down on the count. They started swinging at first pitches. They started popping the ball up in the infield. They started making outs. Innings got quicker. The game got quicker, right? The answer to all of this stuff with shifts in sabermetrics and length of and the change of the baseball and all this other stuff is a pitcher who is working fast and throwing strikes.
Yeah.
Fundamental. And that's that. So I don't know who this Raffy kid is, but I'm rooting for him because he got us in and out of Richmond in 220.
Yeah, and I also make the point, like, I don't want them to speed up the game. I don't think you need to change the game. I like the game of baseball the way it is. Do the umpires piss me off every once in a while? Yeah, but I don't even know that I want the robot umps, to tell you the truth. I don't want the extra innings where we put the guy on second.
Yeah, we saw that.
I'm paying money to go and sit at Miller Park. I'll sit there for 5 hours and have a couple drinks and eat some food and spend that time with my family and friends that maybe I don't see all the time. If I'm paying full price to go to a baseball game, I don't want to get in and out of there in 90 minutes. But if I see a good pitching matchup that dictates that, then I'm fine with that. So I don't want the game changed. But there are some things, like, just some of these games drag on. I made the joke at Miller Park a couple weeks ago as I'm heading down to the clubhouse, and I said, man, this is a 3-2 game, and we almost went 5 hours. You know, because there was like 30 walks. Yeah. Like, way too many walks. I'm all for them speeding up. But I don't want anything changed from the game, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, I don't need the juice balls. I don't mind the low-scoring pitching battles. And I don't mind a lot of offense either when the wind's blowing out and that's how the game's dictated. But I don't know. I just don't think you have to mess with a whole lot.
Runner at second, nobody out. How are you on bunt? I mean, I know sabermetrics tells you probably not to do it.
It depends.
Right? You're not a purist that said you have to bunt in that situation, but sometimes
I want them to. I let the game dictate that. I see, you know, if you really need to plate that run, how the offense has been looking with runners in scoring position. If it's Christian Yelich up, he's not bunting.
Of course.
I'm not going to go through that topic last year of having Jesus Aguilar bunt either that we went through for 3 months all over the station. But, yeah, I mean, Sometimes
it's okay, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We still got another half hour to go here. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. What do you want to see from the Brewers this weekend? 414-799-1250 when we come back. here on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Kevin Holden, CBS 58, Ryan Horvath. Horvy, of course, you will continue to hear even after the Bard Winklers and Chuck Freeman's comeback. I'll pop in from time to time, but this is your world. I'm just living in it.
What do you think of my world?
It's fun. It really is. You got fun people, kind of crazy people, off the wall people, and that makes it interesting.
We do have some crazy people, and we'll hear from some of them coming up throughout the day, and we have some great voices here on the station. 10 to 2, Billy Michaels will be on today breaking down some Packer football, then the guys from the Wendy's Big Show from 2 to 6, and then tonight, week one of high school football, so it's 7 o'clock, big time, Mike McGivern will be in this studio taking your phone calls. Well, not taking your phone calls, but taking the Stringer phone calls, as we'll have all the big games covered from week one of high school football here in the area. Let's get back out to the phone lines, 414-799-1250. Duke is on the expressway, hopefully handheld on the expressway. We don't want any accidents. What's up, Duke?
Hey, I've exited just for the call, so I'm safe.
Thanks, brother. What's up, man?
As far as the home runs go, I think it's more than just the ball. Yeah, maybe the ball is a little bit different, and it maybe affects the pitchers and what they can throw. I understand that some of the split fingers don't work anymore because the ball has changed the composition a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think the two real things that stick out in my mind, number one, the size of the ballparks now are so small. I mean, Miller Park is really a bandbox. I remember watching UWM play there. And in batting practice, when those guys are banging the ball into the absurd deck, you know, hitting the ball 400 feet, it's not just the baseball. It's the parks. Also, when you look at the strike zone, back in the 80s, 90s, that strike zone was wide. You could get away with a pitcher or a catcher setting up 3 inches outside, and if the pitcher hit the glove, that's a strike. With this strike zone monitor, you've got the box. Umpires can't do that anymore. Pitchers have to throw the ball now over the plate to get a strike, and I think that has really changed the game. The fact that the balls coming in now are more hittable because umpires are held accountable. They can't fudge that strike zone, and maybe people aren't thinking about that.
These are all legitimate things. The other thing, too, is high versus low, where so many pitchers live up in the strike zone. You remember, that never used to happen.
No, the high strike was never called back then. Now, like a guy like Hader, he has to live up. He has
right.
to live up there.
That's a good call.
And he has to get that called. But they are calling that strike now because it's inside the box. The umpires are getting graded on that. I really think the strike zone has gotten smaller, and as a former pitcher, it's much tougher than to get a guy out if you're not getting a break on a pitch 3 inches outside.
That's a great phone call. I completely agree with you. Thanks for the call, Duke. What do you think about that, Holden? I mean, he makes a point there.
Yes.
I think there's a lot that goes into effect of what's going on with Major League Baseball right now. When it comes down to it, they just want the run scored.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a combination of a lot of different things. You've got an increase in velocity, and that's all over the game, right? I mean, the guys that throw mid-90s, upper 90s are everywhere, and that never used to be the case. And honestly, if you can square up a baseball, if it comes in faster, it goes out faster. That's the theory, right? And hitters are swinging for different things. In other words, with that increase in velocity, the thought is that trying to hit a single, trying to go opposite field for a single, is not what it used to be.
I think what I need to do is a full podcast, because I think I could go long form on this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could get a bunch of different guests to come on, scientists, guys from Major League Baseball
yeah.
that will actually speak on this, and we could dive a little bit more, because there's something going on. But I don't know. Everybody keeps saying, you know, millennials don't care about baseball. The sport's never been worse. I completely disagree with that. I think the sport's the best that it's ever been. So many superstars, so much young talent. Guys like Bryce Harper, even though I think he's kind of a tool a little bit. Like, I like watching him play baseball. Even guys that you root against, like Chris Bryant, you know, Trevor Story. And then our own guys, Christian Yelich, Cody Bellinger. Like, I don't know. I think they make the game more exciting. So death is inevitable, right, guys? Would you want to know when you were going to die, or do you just kind of like the mystery of it all? We'll hit on that next. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. CBS 58's Kevin Holden. That's me, Ryan Horvath. Bodie, having a lot of fun with you here on a Friday, getting you ready for the weekend.
I'm jacked for the weekend. You jacked for the weekend,
man,
Kevin?
Yeah.
You jacked for the weekend?
You know what's about to happen tomorrow?
What?
Sleep.
I know.
Do you know all the places I've been in the last, like, 10 days?
I don't know how you do it, man. I honestly don't. I follow you on Twitter and on Facebook, and you are at a different game every day or in a different state every day. I don't know how you keep up. I'm going to go home and take about a five-hour nap right now.
Plus, the Packers play these two road games, Baltimore and Winnipeg. I mean, it's been bonkers.
Now is the time to get the nap, because come September 25th, we're going to be at the beautiful Western Lakes Golf Club in Pewaukee for the 13th annual Perkins Restaurant and Bakery's Fan Charity Golf Outing, which benefits Give Kids the World. Great cause. Your chance to golf with us guys from The Fan, other local celebrities, guys like Kevin. Just $125 for a great day of golfing. You get breakfast, lunch, and dinner from Perkins, Robert's Specialty Meats, and Saz's. Get all the details now. Sign up before Monday. Make sure to get signed up. 1057FMTheFan.com. Once again, 1057FMTheFan.com. 414-799-1250. Still about 10 minutes to jump on the program. Do a little choose-your-own-adventure. You want to talk Packers, what you saw last night in the preseason, or you could talk some Brewers. But right now, we're going to talk about something that nobody wants to talk about, and that's death. We're all going to die one day.
That's what I hear.
We're all going to die one day. But I was doing a little reading yesterday in Time Magazine, and the headline that caught my eye, "We're one step closer to a blood test that predicts when a person will die." So let me just kind of give you guys a little briefing, a little spark notes, as we call it. While death is inevitable, knowing when it will come isn't necessary, and scientists have been trying to develop a test that could reliably and easily predict how long a person will live, or more technically, how healthy they are, and therefore how vulnerable they will be to major mortality risk factors. Blood tests are the most likely avenue to such a test, since it's easy to obtain blood samples and labs equipped to handle them are common. So in the latest effort, it's described in a new paper published in Nature Communications by a team led by Joris Deleen, who is a researcher at the Institute for Biology of Aging, and she's the head of something that I can't even pronounce. So anyway, the researchers there report that in a group of more than 44,000 healthy patients, their blood test was around 80% accurate in predicting mortality risk within 5 to 10 years. So pretty much, to spark notes this bad boy, there's going to be a blood test that'll be able to tell you, Kevin, you, Nick Bodie, producing the show, when you're going to die. You could take, it could give you an idea. Now, obviously, I could go walk to my car and get struck by a truck and I'm dead, boom, dead right there. But this test can tell you about how many years you have left. It could say you got 5 to 10 years left. You got 30 years to left. Would you guys want to take this test? Would you want to know when you're going to die?
I think it would be the ultimate motivator to get you to do some of the right things in your life, right? Because you have this, I think you could improve upon the test result. You could take the test, and if it told you you had 10 years, you go, man, if I clean some stuff up, maybe I could stretch it.
Right.
Maybe I can get it to 15.
It made me think of the song by Tim McGraw, that Live Like You Are Dying song, where he goes skydiving, mountain rock and climbing, or whatever the hell he's doing.
Right. He went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu.
Right. So I don't know, though, because I'm so nuts and I stress over every little thing, that I would want to know when I would die. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, what's going on?
Nothing. Just keep talking.
Okay. Just keep talking. Anyway,
you talk about this stuff and Sparky shows up. I was worried Sparky was going to be, you know, kind of laying it down here.
I'm not just trying to ruin the program in the final couple minutes here on a Friday afternoon by talking about death. But Nick Bodie, would you want to know how long you have left?
Yeah, I think so. Like Kevin said, no regrets. We've had a lot of kind of early unexpected deaths in my family. The Bodies are a bit like the Kennedys in the Midwest. So being able to say goodbye, having that kind of closure and being able to accomplish what you want, that's big. Plus, you don't have to live with that fear. You know when it's coming.
But when you think, I mean, if you have even an inkling of the fact that there is an end, like you, right now we're talking about that, but most times you don't live thinking that there is that end out there. If you thought with that in mind, it would change some things. Some of that stuff would go to the top of your to-do list that you have way down.
Right, so my entire point of the story, I'm going to switch gears now. So you got 10 years, right? Would you want to know if your favorite sports team would win a title in 10 years? So let's say you're hanging on every single Milwaukee Brewers game.
Yes.
But so you got, my favorite part of being a fan is almost the unknown. Like, I go into each season, like, maybe the Packers go 12-4 this season, maybe they go 5-11, and that's the suspense of it all. So if I could tell you, hey, name, what's your favorite team? Like, who's your favorite team out there? Are you a Brewers guy, a Packers guy, a Badgers fan?
Well, let's go Brewers. I like that idea.
So the Brewers, I could tell you if they're going to win a World Series in the next 10 years. Would you want to know? Maybe you want to know because if they're not going to win a pennant in the next 10 years, you're not going to waste your time. Maybe you find a new team. Maybe you find a new hobby, give up baseball altogether. Or do you like the suspense of it? Like, I want to go in not knowing? Or would you want to know, like, if they're going to win a World Series here in the next 10 years.
Oh, I mean, there's a whole bunch of like split outs from this because my first thought is yes, so I can go to Vegas, right?
Right.
So I can start laying some money down in Vegas.
I'm crossing that off the list. You can't bet on the.
Okay, all right. But I think you would separate types of fans, wouldn't you? If you say to someone these two things, because I think this is where you're going. You're going to be dead in 10 years and your team will not win a title in that time. How will it change their lives? It would significantly change some lives. Some people, the ones that call your show and say, the problem with the local teams is they always make it to, you know, the championship game of the conference or, you know, in the Packers case or the NLCS, but they don't ever make it in.
Right.
Those people, the ones that can't handle the fact that the teams get close but don't win titles, they'd probably move on.
Like, for me, it'd be the Milwaukee Bucks. I really want the Bucks to win a title, right? And if you told me they're not going to win a title for the next 10 years, see, I wouldn't want to know because I like to go in not knowing. I like the suspense of it all. Are they going to be any good? You know, what's going to happen? That's why I watch professional sports. Nick Bodie likes the Wisconsin Badgers more than anybody else on this planet. Bodie, what if I tell you they're not going to play in the college football playoff here in the next 10 years? Are you still hanging on every Saturday watching every single game, knowing that your team is never going to be any better than 9-3?
Yeah, absolutely, without hesitation. And that's because I don't expect them to be in the college football playoff. You know, like you said, I'm mainly a Badger football guy specifically, and you know, they're an entertaining team to watch, but with some of the academic requirements, it's been really tough for them to compete with other teams. And I accepted kind of a long time ago, I'll probably never see the Badgers win a national championship in football.
So
in
you'd
my
want
lifetime.
To know, though. You would want to know that they're not going to win a national title in the next 10 years here.
It would make no difference to me. Yeah, I would want to know. That would be great, but it wouldn't change me as a fan.
Holden, you've had a little bit of time to think about it. You'd want to know?
Yeah, I'd still want to know. If we are talking about an idea of knowing your end game, I would like to know some things associated with my end game. Maybe there's some other stuff.
I wouldn't, because if you tell me you're not getting a Super Bowl victory for the Green Bay Packers here in the next 10 years, then on Sunday I'm like, well, screw it. I'll probably just watch the Browns.
Right.
I'll check out Baker Mayfield. I'm not going to waste my time if this team's going to finish 11-5 and then bow out in the divisional round. I don't know. That's just me, though. Bodie, what did we miss today?
All right, boys. Well, coming up, we have week 0 of college football. Very excited about that. So the big game this weekend is going to be Miami against the University of Florida.
I've already placed the bet on that.
Not shocked. Dan Mullen, his second year there at Florida, kind of a proving ground. Meanwhile, Manny Diaz getting started at Miami. Little bit of a surprise there. Ohio State quarterback Tate Martell had transferred to Miami after Justin Fields came in, kind of stole his job. And he got his job stolen again. It's going to be freshman Jaren Williams starting at quarterback for the U tomorrow. So that is where I will be, on my couch watching that game.
Same here. Isn't Tate Martell, doesn't he have a shot to play as a skill position player, though? Aren't they saying he's not going to take any snaps at quarterback, but he might play some receiver this year?
He probably should have been Taysom Hill'd a long time ago. I mean, they could have given him the Braxton Miller treatment at Ohio State. The guy, I said it to Kevin Holden, he's 5'8". You're not going to play D1 quarterback.
Right.
You know?
And shout out to him, though, because while he may suck on the football field, his girlfriend is a 10 of 10. She's like an Instagram model. I think we've actually covered this before. He spent like the entire offseason just taking shirtless pictures with her on a beach rather than learning the damn playbook like Aaron Rodgers.
That California pretty boy!
Aaron Rodgers, that California pretty boy, should have been on the field last night.
Coach killer.
I see him on the Bucks game sitting courtside. He should be at home learning the playbook. Now I'm going to be watching that game. I will be watching that game. And if you're into winning money, take the first half under in that game, too. Both defenses will come out to play, and both offenses will stink. Holdy, you watching week 0 football or no?
I'm sleeping. No, I'll watch a little bit of it. I'll tune in and out. I have a rare Saturday off.
And it's a 7 p.m. kick, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's going to be important because, you know, when the weekends come or when the football season comes, Packer season especially, there aren't going to be a lot of Saturdays off. So tomorrow is a significant day. It is a day in which I might sleep 17 hours.
17 hours.
It's possible.
You're like the Rip Van Winkle of CBS 58 then.
Yeah. I'm going to work this afternoon and tonight, and then I might wake up Sunday. What we do.
Kevin's going to roll out of bed around 10:30 p.m. just in time for Arizona versus Hawaii. He's like, that's the matchup right there.
Timmy Chang, baby. Is Timmy Chang still the quarterback? You Google that for me.
Yeah, Hawaii. Like, I think June Jones is still there.
You know the team that I love to watch late at night? Wyoming.
Oh, yeah.
I do. Yeah. I am all about the Cowboys. I really am.
One of my best friends from college played fullback at Northern Illinois, and we had to watch, you know, every game that he played in. So they played Wyoming. It was Josh Allen's first start. It starts up on the West Coast. It started on a lightning delay, so it was already 2 hours late. Then it goes into double OT. I think that game finished at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Ah, yeah.
I love those games.
I'm all about it.
Horvath, what are you most looking forward to college football being back?
College football being back? I'm most looking forward to, man, and I love it all. This year, I'm really looking forward to, as crazy as it sounds, I want to see Oregon play. I really like watching Justin Herbert. I'm looking most forward to the quarterback play this year because last year it was kind of down. Like, I know and Daniel Jones has looked really good with the Giants, but you got Tua this year. You got a full season now of Trevor Lawrence, who was spectacular for Clemson last year. And then you got Justin Herbert. So I'm going to be watching for the quarterback play because I think this is going to be a huge, huge year for quarterback play and the draft next year. I think you could see 5 quarterbacks maybe go in those first 12 picks. Also Notre Dame football, of course, even though I think that they're going to stink this year.
So you're excited for the yearly tradition of declaring yourselves back, being a top 5 program, then kind of bottoming out?
Yeah, my favorite Notre Dame, always. I like getting off to the 10-0, 11-0 start, only to then run into Alabama in the college football playoff.
Brian Kelly turns the color of a tomato, yeah.
Yeah, watching Brian Kelly choke out offensive coordinators and treat kids like crap is always fun, too. Also, we got the Badgers, you know, hopefully Graham Mertz will be your starting quarterback by week 3. Don't see it happening, though. Special thanks to Ryan Wood, the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackerNews.com for joining us. Kevin Holden, thanks to you, bud.
Hey, it's always a blast. Appreciate it, and nice work. Let's hear some more of this from you. Hopefully you get some shots at this.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Chuck and Bart both back on Monday. Ryan Horvath back to the kids' table. Thanks for listening, 105.7 FM The Fan. Bill Michaels up next from 10 to 2. The Wendy's Big Show takes you home here on a Friday, 2 to 6, on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM The Fan.